Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger and the Scream Queen Tamika, as always. And let's first start with the sad, as legendary wrestling commentator Lance Russell passed away this past week, with like less than 2 weeks after we lost Bobby Heenan. We lost Lance Russell, the voice of Memphis wrestling, and in my opinion, one of the top five greatest commentators of all time. He was very dearly loved by many, and it's definitely sad to hear that we lost him. He apparently, his daughter passed away a few days before he did. So that was a crazy coincidence, but yeah, so
a rough blow for their family, yeah.
And I remember seeing Lance Russell for a brief time when he was with WCW as well. But most people know him of the many years that he spent calling Memphis wrestling. And so definitely the Tennessee area in the South, especially got the pleasure listening to Lance Russell. And he was great at what he did.
Yeah, that's Lance Russell has one of those iconic. He was a staple in the area. Memphis wrestling is, you know, of course, territory, but it's one of those territories that's rich in history. And he's the voice of that behind the call, listening to as you watch some of these old tapes, actual video tapes. It's coming through the territory. So it's a blow for wrestling fans, for wrestling historians, his family, friends, and fans. Our thoughts, prayers, and condolences go out to all you guys, because again, that's just such a sad time to lose another icon in the business. Even though he may not have been as well known as Bobby Heenan, his contributions were just as greatly matched. So
let's get some good news out here. Let's talk about some more positive things. And, of course, for every positive, it's a negative. So to the negative of Enzo Amore as the Cruiserweight champion in the land that is known as 205 Live. Finally, after months of me talking about this and saying this needed to happen, Kalisto is now a member of 205 Live. And the rules stating that cruiserweights cannot attack or touch Enzo do not apply to Kalisto. So it looks like we have the next challenger for the Cruiserweight Championship. Guys, your thoughts here on Kalisto being part of 205 Live?
I'm glad to finally see him back. And it seemed I feel he should have been on 205 Live a long time ago.
To be quite honest, I outside of you talking about Kalisto, I forgot he existed. Not only does he meet the 205 like weight requirement, but his ninja skills and disappearing act was great. So I was honestly shocked to see him back. I thought they had maybe put him on a shelf someplace as a action figure and forgot that he was around and he actually could work in the ring. See him come back and to kind of jump the stipulation. I didn't touch him before, so now we can have this match. It's good. It's different. We had thought the predictable move would be for Enzo to win this belt, or at least I thought the predictable move was for Enzo to win the belt and then to move on to someone like a Cedric or what have you. So this is a good twist. I'm just worried that Kalisto does not have enough star power to help, Lord help me what I'm about to say, Enzo's star power to continue to catapult the 205 Live, the Cruiserweights, into the forefront of the minds of the WWE fans. They go, oh yes, we need to watch this show because XYZ. We know that outside of the WWE, this is a fantastic wrestler, high flyer. It's just to be determined on what they're going to allow him to do in the ring, especially against an Enzo Amore, who's not known to be the bestest of anything other than microphone worker. So I'm looking forward to seeing perhaps what could be a cruiserweight train wreck happen with this next matchup with against Enzo for the title.
I mean, in my opinion, he's the best cruiserweight style wrestler they have in WWE right now. But it seems that they did, you know, everything in their power for so long to keep him away from 205 Live. You know, I would think that you would want to feature him right off the bat of 205 Live's inception, being that he was one of your guys that was already there. You know, they when 205 Live started, they focused on all these new guys, and I get that, but you still want somebody who's there. So I'm happy that we now get Kalisto on 205 Live. He can kick the crap out of Enzo for us. And we also get all these fresh matchups that we haven't seen of him, you know, against Tozawa, against Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, Drew Gulak, Mustafa Ali, you know, against TJ Perkins. You know, like all there's this whole new roster of guys that he can have just outstanding matchups with. That I'm very, very excited to finally get to see.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that Kalisto is finally on 205 Live. That's definitely where he belonged. He was definitely out of place. And it's funny because first they took a while to move Sin Cara, and then now you finally move Kalisto. It feels like the right place, the right move, the right everything. Now, with that, do you guys think that this is a chance for Kalisto to win the championship, or they're just going to job him over to Enzo? And will Enzo's run be a long one?
I think Enzo's run will be kind of long because right now it's doing what they want it to do. It's getting additional eyes to 205 Live. I mean, he's playing a heel, you know, he's playing it where 205 Live really didn't have a solid heel. You know, you had guys who kind of used underhanded tactics, but that didn't mean in the fans' eyes that they were booed. But now you kind of have an overwhelming sense from the fans, you know, get the damn belt off Enzo. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't belong. He can't wrestle like these guys can. I mean, he's being a heel. So especially if he goes in there and, you know, and continues to find ways, albeit by kind of, you know, hook or by crook, by kind of flash pins and roll-ups and these kind of things, just kind of continues to beat the best, you know, but in ways that these guys don't lose a whole lot of heat, necessarily, you know? I think it could be good. It'll hopefully get more people to stay when SmackDown ends, for starters. You know, so the arena doesn't look empty when 205 Live is happening, and the crowd is fresh and reacts, you know, gets into the matches, and hopefully it gets more people to watch the show.
It's a plot. It's a ploy. We know this. It's now, again, I think it makes a huge difference to have this whole thing starting now so you can have people be invested. They want people invested either way, and if this gets it done, then okay, fine. We can, you know, moan and bitch about it, but at the end of the day, they thankfully realize what they need to do, and this is the path they're taking. I'm just at a wait and see point right now because I don't know what else to do. There's nothing I can do short of, I don't know, helping Enzo Amore into the back of someone's trunk and they just keep driving with no questions asked.
Yeah, I'm definitely afraid that this is going to be a long reign for Enzo. And, you know, in the minds of Vince McMahon and WWE officials, this could be a positive. The fact that Enzo is bringing somewhat of more of attention to the Cruiserweight division and to 205 Live. As much as I hate to admit it, Enzo does attract more fans, and maybe that will eventually pay dividends for 205 Live and the rest of the roster. And like I said, as much as I mean I like it, this may be more to the benefit of 205 Live to have Enzo be the focal point of the division for the time being. But who should beat Enzo Mora for the championship?
Lince Dorado needs a bigger spotlight. Gran Metalik needs a bigger spotlight. I mean, Cedric Alexander needs a bigger spotlight. I mean, there's a lot of guys that belt could help elevate and put more spotlight on. I mean, it's an amazingly talented roster. It's the 205 Live roster. And sadly, they're put on the back burner. They're seen by the least amount of people. So hopefully that, I mean, and Enzo, he may not put on the best matches, but the story of the chase and the division teaming up to try to get the belt off of him could be an interesting storyline. And hopefully it's able to get a spotlight to a lot of these guys so that the division can kind of grow.
Yeah, my money is on Cedric. I would like to see Cedric be the next babyface champion.
Yeah, that is, again, one of the steps that it seemed like we're working toward Enzo to Cedric. Cedric came into this with not fanfare, but the fans behind him for the CWC. So he seems like he would be the perfect fit as far as what WWE looks for in any of their champions. It's a hard sell to have a WWE champion who has not mastered the language. They need to be able to be quick and witty, and the WWE needs to be able to send them out anywhere on behalf of the WWE respective titles. So he seems to have that ability, and it seems like he would be the perfect champion once you take this off of Enzo. Enzo, for all of his non-wrestling skills, again, I think he has mastered the whole microphone thing for certain, and they can still send him out and about to be a representative of the company as long as he doesn't, come across strippers and on his way to an interview. But if you're going to take that belt off of Enzo and put it on anyone, it would have to be, I think, someone who they are going to groom or should be in the process of grooming, like a Cedric. You could even put it back on, put it on Jack Gallagher. He would be a viable candidate for the Cruiserweight Championship based on skill as well as presentability as a champion. That's huge for WWE now. Of course, we know it's not the wrestling that they're looking for. It's that overall package that they can shoot out somewhere into other avenues of media.
But Jack Gallagher already has a belt that he can go for at any time. The UK Championship. It's the under 90 kilos belt. and you have to be born in England, apparently. So he has both of those things. So he's pretty much a top contender for that at any time. They should just keep the Cruiserweight belt away from him and let him, go battle Pete Dunne or something on a weekly basis, and Tyler Bate and whoever else they can drudge up.
Gosh. Under 90 kilos. Book it.
Under 90 kilos, that's it.
So with that, let's move over to the NXT Universe. And several things have happened in the last few weeks. New tapings were done yesterday. I try to stay away from the spoilers because I want to be able to watch it and actually enjoy it, not just know exactly what I'm getting. So I don't know what happened with the spoilers. The only thing that I know is that War Games is coming back. So not only is Starrcade coming back, but now War Games is coming back as a match at NXT TakeOver in Houston the day before Survivor Series on November the 18th. So your guys' thoughts here on the return of War Games?
It feels like they're just doing it just to do it. I saw the teams who are slated to be in the War Games. It's not even just going to be two teams. It's going to be a three-team War Games, which I guess justifies them using the war games rather than the regular cage. Because if it was just a 3-on-3, they could just potentially use a regular cage. It would be a little crowded, but they could use a regular cage. So I think they're just kind of trying to do it to do it. I mean, the story might, you know, leading into it might be well done, but it seems like they're just trying to do the war games to say that they can do the war, you know, say that they did the war games. I don't know if it really warrants it. It feels kind of like a forced thing, like the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, where, oh, it's whatever month, so you're going to fight in a cell, and you're going to fight in a cell, and you're going to fight in a cell. You know, like Oprah giving away cars. You're fighting the cell, and you're fighting the cell. So I don't know. I guess I'll have to see some of the episodes leading up to it. But right now, it just seems kind of like it's there just to kind of pop the crowd rather than being a good part of the story.
I think they're recycling a lot of the old stuff because they're trying to keep some of the older fans happy, but at the same time draw them in to these newfangled wrestlers and what they have going on. The War Games concept was interesting the first time around. It was different. It was part of that whole Monday Night War thing. So you'll have people who will go, hey, they're bringing War Games back, or they're doing War Games. I remember. And they might tune in. They might watch. And they'll see some names that they've never seen before, never heard of, and go, hey, these kids, not half bad. On the opposite foot, you'll have people who've watched the network, who've heard the, you know, the WCW stories and say, oh, War Games this, blah, blah, that. Let's go ahead and, you know, tune into this. They're trying to reach everybody at the same time with the recycled concept. It sounds weird, but it's just kind of weird enough to work. I'm interested. I want to see. I want to watch and try to, you know, I don't know, not be a part of this history because, you know, they're going to put it on a network. It's going to be there forever, but this is the modern War Games. Anything could happen. You never know. So I'm excited for it. It'll be interesting to see everyone's reaction to it as far as the fans, how your old school fans take it, how your new school fans take it, just to see how everybody kind of either loves it or hates it. So,
did they explain whether they would be using the two rings or not?
I don't know. All I know is I saw that Triple H said they were having War Games match.
Okay. Because that may be the thing. I don't, you know, there's not no guarantee that it'll be the two, that they'll bring back the two rings for that event. They may just have, you know, the rules of War Games, but not actually bring back the, you know, the signature War Games two rings and the oversized cage. What they need to bring back is the big blue cage. That's what I want to see. The mid-90s WWF big blue cage. You know, the
square holes.
Yeah, these big square holes were like wrought iron bars, you know. It wasn't mesh. It was like hard bars. Just let the guys slam each other's heads into there in a hard way. You know, I mean, it'll be good times.
You're trying to get people killed. That's cool. If the boss came hard way with a headbutt, damn it, you're going to take the blue cage bump. Get in there.
Pretty much. You're going to take the suplex off the cage. Like Brett and Owen, and, you know, why not do it? It's all about the ratings, bro. People, rating, blood equals ratings, okay?
So moving on, so we continue to see things going on with Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, and it looks like we may see a tag team coming for these two, which I do not hate. Those two in the tag team look like something really fun.
Oh, absolutely. It seems they've kind of been building to that for some time. We got that brief segment, you know, a few weeks back when of them training in the ring, kind of trying out some tag team combinations. Then we see, you know, Lars Sullivan trying to continued the beatdown on Oney after the match, and Danny Burch kind of came out to save him, so to speak, and kind of pull Oney out of the ring to save further damage. So it does look like we're going to get to see that tag team. I just wonder how far they're going to take him. Will it be a one-off, or will they kind of be a regular tag team for a while and look to take championship gold?
I think they really like this combination. I think they're high, definitely, on Danny Burch, and that is great and bad for us here in Atlanta at the same time. But they've got him in this nice little angle, and I don't think they're going to let go. I think seeing them for a run after the tag team goal is not a stretch, watching as this has developed, week after week. So when it happens, it won't be a stretch. And again, we'll be happy and sad here in the middle of Atlanta going, yay, aw, because we'll be losing our Martin. That just sounded bad. But yeah, true.
Martin Stone would be no more. But Martin would just get buried next to Kimberly and Heidi Lovelace and Nikki Storm, all these other what happens to gimmicks when they change the dead gimmick and dead name zone.
The dead gimmick and name zone. I like that.
We also got to see Leo Rush's debut on NXT TV, but it was spoiled by the Velveteen Dream as he attacked Leo while Aleister Black was making his entrance. I think we're going to see a match between Black and Dream, but you got to say, what a debut for Leo. He did get a little pop there when his name came out on the screen, but no match. And does this mean, are we going to see the Dream and Rush wrestle each other at some point between now and TakeOver? I imagine that Rush would want to get some type of revenge on getting attacked by the Dream.
Yeah, I mean, he got his big debut spoiled by the Velveteen Dream, so he may want revenge. It seems we're getting, no matter whether we want it or not, Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black probably at the next TakeOver. I guess they're going to stretch it out for a while longer. Hopefully Black just, crushes him and sends that gimmick back to the dead gimmick zone.
I don't think you can send that one back to the dead gimmick zone. It just, it won't die. You'll always have a piece of that in your mind when you see him. It'll just forever linger there. I want him to team up with Leo Rush. That could be Rushing the Dream or something stupid and crazy. But yeah, it was great to see Leo make that, that transition from, indie star to WWE superstar, to see him come out there. And again, the crowd loved the Full Sail folks, because there are smart wrestling fans in that crowd. They know who these folks are before WWE signs them. They're not ignorant to the fact of the hard work that the guys and girls have put in before they stepped into, the performance center, into NXT, into a WWE ring. So perhaps not the first feud that you see him with the Velveteen Dream is not something that you want, but it also gives him a chance to establish a character and a style in NXT, and to kind of show people who are not so familiar with his work who he is, as people who are, fans of the product know Velveteen Dream as his many incarnations, including, being just Patrick from Tough Enough. So we'll see what happens with Leo, and, again, if I can push Velveteen Dream into a trunk with Enzo, with someone who will continue to drive and ask the questions, I will do that. But until I can get that pulled off, we're stuck with it.
The Velveteen Dream is definitely an interesting gimmick. I don't necessarily hate it, but again, I don't think it has the miles to last a long time on the main roster.
Yeah, well, absolutely not. Yeah, it would hit the main roster and it would get old very quickly, I think.
But it serves its purpose of giving Black something to do in the meantime. Obviously, Aleister Black is going to be a star for a long time to come in the WWE. And that's all that matters. The last point I wanted to bring on NXT was this week's main event. Drew McIntyre defeating Roderick Strong to retain the NXT Championship. And what I, in my opinion, was the best match Strong's had on NXT TV so far.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've seen the matches that, the series of matches that Roderick Strong and Drew McIntyre had in Evolve, right when Drew left WWE the first time. He had a series of three matches with Roderick Strong that ended with the third match being in the cage. Just really, really good stuff. So, I mean, I kind of expected it to be just a fantastic match, and they delivered.
You've got to love Roddy coming, not into his own, but kind of, again, people were not fully vested in him, I think, as the WWE fans were just like, okay, who's this guy? They kind of started him off a little, I don't know, for me, a little weird. But to have him get in there with Drew and to have these guys just kind of go and literally do what they were put on this earth to do and just wrestle the hell out of each other back and forth, I think that was more of a showcase for Roddy. And Drew just kind of was the cherry on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday of a match with these guys. I'd like to see more from both of them, maybe a longer series, another set of matches or whatever, I don't know. But it was great to see Strong kind of come out personality wise for me, at least while he was wrestling too, because I didn't take kindly to what the WWE was doing to him. But now this is a term for the best and not the worst.
And of course, post match, Roderick Strong is on the stage and the Undisputed Era comes out and kind of have some words, which kind of was a little suspect because we weren't sure, okay, are they working together? Are they not? I mean, Strong looked a little confused, but, you know, maybe that's the Undisputed Era's way of, you know, making people question each other and bringing a little extra drama into the fold. So definitely things are not over between the Undisputed Era, Roderick Strong, and definitely not the NXT champion, Drew McIntyre. Now moving to the main roster. I got to say, The Miz has been fantastic here in this feud that he's been working with Roman Reigns, and of course everybody's talking about the Shield versus the Mistourage, and some people thought it's a joke. The Mistourage, well, things seem to have gotten better. It looks like the bar was raised when it came to this 6-man tag match that it's looming, because The Bar, Cesaro, and Sheamus came out and helped Miz take down Roman Reigns. And at the end, they did the Shield pose in the middle of the ring. So to me, that tells me right there that it's not going to be the Mistourage with Miz. It's going to be Miz and The Bar against the Shield, which they also teased their reunion at the end of the show on Monday night with Ambrose and Rollins going to the locker room and just looking at Reigns. obviously letting him know that they're there. And it looks like we're going to get it. The Shield versus Miz and The Bar. And I'm going to love every single moment of it.
But what happens to the Miztourage now? Do they go back to main event and superstars and dark matches? You know, if they split them up or they stay a team. What happens to the Miztourage? What happens to those poor bastards who are left out in the cold now?
Maurice is pregnant. She's going to need somebody to rub her feet, get her weird pickles and ice cream cravings. They'll be working. Don't worry about them. They'll be just fine.
You think Curtis Axel is good at foot rubs? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think Bo Dallas is actually the better foot rubber than Curtis. Curtis looks like he's a pickle getter. That sounded wrong.
Getting Maurice a pickle was what got her pregnant in the first place.
Didn't.
But come on, guys. Obviously, this has to be an upgrade, though. The Bar and Miz against the Shield.
Well, it's an upgrade for the Miz, but it's not necessarily an upgrade for the Bar, though.
I'm okay with this because, again, Cesaro and Sheamus, especially in this match against Rollins and Ambrose, when Sheamus and Cesaro had that last tag team match where poor Cesaro, you know, lost his two front teeth. They've been on there's something about blood and teeth flying that make you more legit. And so here they are now, just literally coming out and just kicking everybody's butt. So them joining the Miz to take on the Shield is great because it gives the Shield one, a chance to reform Voltron, but two, it gives them opponents that they are not necessarily going to run through. The Shield was dominant because they would attack superstars as individuals where there would be a numbers advantage. There's no advantage to this match unless they just, you know, beat Miz up and just go after the other two. But Miz has been so strong, his character and his wrestling, that he brings to the table a viable opponent for, like, a Seth Rollins or even a Dean Ambrose, with him being the smaller of the other two guys. So it gives them a real, real steady competition, so to speak, to kind of see where the Shield, after, you know, X amount of years not being together, where they could possibly stand going against this group of superstars in this Miz and The Bar. The Bar is such a weird name. I need them to do something else. I get it, but it's still so weird.
I am looking forward to it. I am not sure when this is going to happen. Likely, possibly, Survivor Series. And if it does indeed happen there, a great way to, you know, to have, it'll be a great reunion for the Shield. Some people may say it's too soon. I'm like, come on, you could have done it months ago. And to me, I'm ready to see that. And The Miz is playing things perfectly. I think that he's doing a great job as he usually does. And this is, you know, me showing the Miz love that I have for Mike Mizanin. And whatever, he's great. Everything that he does. I mean, that guy beat John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania. Let's not forget about that.
Let's calm down. He's a married man. He's got a kid on the way. You can be next, but Maurice, you know, let's let her have a baby first before you have this love fest forever for Miz.
What is wrong with me appreciating talented professional wrestlers, Tamika?
There's nothing wrong with you appreciating talented professional wrestlers. Your love for The Miz might be crossing a line. I'm just saying.
Hey, I just have respect for the guy and the hard work that he put coming into the WWE and likely not have been accepted truly into that locker room. And, man, he's earned his spot. And he is The Miz, and he is awesome. Moving on. This Sunday, WWE presents Hell in a Cell, 8 p.m., available on the award-winning WWE Network for only $9.99. So here we go. Need your predictions. We're going to sort of kind of skip predictions for the pre-show because it's the pre-show. Hype Bros versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. And then, in no particular order, Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Rusev.
Yeah, I'm going with Rusev here.
Oh, come on. I hear voices in my head, and they say Randy Orton's going to win.
Well, yes. If you listen to voices in your head, you're crazy.
I ain't got no words for you now. The voices are quiet for now.
Then we get Glorious because Bobby Roode goes one-on-one against Dolph Ziggler, which to me, Bobby Roode, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I wish Dolph Ziggler went back to doing bad comedy full-time because I'm tired of him on SmackDown Live.
Wow, no love for Ziggler.
Ziggler needs a repackage or something. He's just been doing the same shtick for so long, and like the way he's booked, it doesn't play to his character. Should be Bobby Roode winning, you know, pretty handily. You know, Dolph will get in there and bump and make the new guy look good. That's kind of his role at this point.
You know what? I'm going to go and say Dolphy for the win, just as an upset.
That would upset a lot of people.
I like his hair.
Next, for the United States Championship, AJ Styles defends against Baron Corbin.
The former Mr. Money in the Bank, Baron Corbin. I think AJ Styles retains. There's no reason to give the belt to Corbin right now. AJ is doing a good job with it, especially if you're not going to put AJ up in the up for the big belt. So keep him there with the U.S. title.
Styles for the win. Yeah, Corbin, he's not ready to hold a title with him losing Money in the Bank like he did. Somebody's not happy with this gentleman. So he's going to continue to be on a losing streak and definitely not pick up a title anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm going with AJ Styles as well. Although I could see this more chance for Baron Corbin to win the championship. No, I like it with AJ. AJ's my pick. Then, Natalya defends the SmackDown Women's Championship versus Charlotte Flair.
Hopefully Natty breaks Charlotte and sends her back to, you know, sends her in a hospital bed right next to her dad.
Woo!
They can share a hospital bed and trade woos and harass nurses and stuff together or whatever. Natty Cat for the win.
Did you say share hospital beds? What kind of father-daughter relationship do they have going in your mind? My gosh, man.
You've seen the way that they cry and hug on each other and stuff. I've never seen a father and daughter do that in my entire life. It's creepy. And they're both two of the most hideous criers in the history of ever.
Okay, so I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to leave it alone and say Charlotte Flair picks up the win because of, woo, legacy. I mean, you know, she is a legacy. They've let Alexa go and make some history. It's time for Charlotte to make her story on SmackDown Live, being that woman who won both belts. The second one, but again, I think she's got to pick up the victory over Natty.
I think that Charlotte will win the match, but then I think following that, Carmella will cash in her Money in the Bank briefcase, and she will take the Women's Championship.
You think Carmella cashes in and actually walks away with the championship?
Yes.
Why did each of your scenarios get worse? Mika said, oh, Charlotte's winning. I'm like, ooh, that sounds bad. And then he's like, Charlotte's winning. And Carmella's cashing in, and she wins. And I'm like, oh, it just gets worse and worse, man.
Here, let's make it even worse. She wins, and she does, like, a live sex show right then and there with James Elber. Boom! The worst ever.
It's PG era. There's no live sex shows in PG era.
I just tried to make it worse, and I think I won. Thank you very much.
Next, in a Hell in a Cell match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship, The New Day versus The Usos. And I think in this match, The New Day will rock.
Is it like a 3-on-2? Is the manager, if 2-on-2, well then does The New Day have to stay outside of the cage?
Well, Xavier Woods is injured. He's not going to try to go in there and do stuff. He'll just be outside. He'll be playing the trombone throughout the whole entire match.
So you're saying that Xavier's going to stand outside and blow while the Usos pick up the win? Because that's what I heard.
No, while the New Day picked up the win. So you think the Usos are going to win?
Yeah.
I go Usos, yeah. Because the New Day gimmick is just, I didn't like it from the start, and it has well worn its course, man. They need to be rebranded. And I mean, they probably sell a bunch of merch, so as long as they continue to sell merch, they'll continue to do the shtick. But it's just, I never found it entertaining from the get-go, and I definitely don't find it entertaining 2 years later.
Then, in a Falls Count Anywhere Hell in a Cell match, Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens.
Why not add extra stipulations to a Hell in a Cell match, you know? I mean, it's already a cage match. Why not add a Falls Count Anywhere stipulation?
Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to bust through the Hell in a Cell. Shane's going to climb on top of something, then jump off really high off the cell. And then that's when the pin happens. That's why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I get that. But it's like when TNA did their Slammiversary, or whatever the, I can't remember what they called it, but the one where they had all the matches in the cage, and then they would add, like, some of the matches would have extra stipulations. Like, you're already in a cage match. Why do you need to have, like, whatever inside the cage match also? It just becomes convoluted.
TNA was locked down. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah,
Lethal Lockdown.
Lethal Lockdown was the match at the end, yeah. But like the other matches, like mid-card matches, they threw an extra stipulation. But you're already fighting in the cage. Falls Get Anywhere and the Hell in a Cell just seems kind of silly because the cell, in theory, is supposed to keep guys in there. You know, like that's the whole point of it. It's supposed to keep guys inside a contained area. So they're going to be able to pin each other on the floor outside of the ring? Is that kind of the thing? It just seems silly to me.
Well, I think that Kevin Owens is going to win this regardless of how silly it's going to be. There is no reason to put Shane over at this point.
Yeah, oh, definitely not. Kevin Owens, yeah, definitely should win. He shouldn't even sell that much of Shane's offense.
I need Shane to win so he's a viable reason that AJ Styles had to put him over. I need Shane McMahon to win this one.
Tamika continues the trend of being wrong. No surprise there. And then we're going to get, hopefully in your main event, unless they'll make Shane Owens the main event, Jinder Mahal defends the WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. Even though it would make sense to put these guys in a cell.
Yeah, because Jinder has all these guys trying to run in and attack, you know, during matches and stuff.
But we already have 2 Hell in a Cell matches, and, well, we can't have 3.
Yeah.
I mean, the show's called Hell in a Cell. We'll just not have everybody in the cell.
That's what I'm saying. Just do it lockdown style and just have every single match inside the Hell in a Cell. It'll be good times.
They don't own that right yet. That's why. They will, but not yet.
So who do you guys think leaves WWE champion?
Do not hinder Jinder. Jinder Mahal. The Mahaj Mahal, or whatever his name is. He continues to reign supreme.
Whoa. The Mahaj Mahal? Is that what you were just trying to say? You were just trying to call him the Taj Mahal?
I don't know what I was trying to say.
That's not nearly as bad as, like, the promo where they were making fun of, you know, like, being all racist towards Japanese people. But, like, that was kind of close. It's the Maharaja, which essentially is, like, it's royalty. It's a royal person.
He's not actual royalty, so I didn't have to actually say it. I just mixed up some words. I'm sorry, I'm American. This is what we do. I will let him continue to hold the belt as we're going to go overseas, and, you know, we need to represent the people we're going to see overseas again. Nothing against Shinsuke. Nakamura-san is very good, as we know. Gender wins.
I am torn between the King of Strong Style or the modern day Maharaja, because I know how to say it right.
That's because you're not American. That's why, duh.
I know. You have respect for other people's cultures. That's a terrible thing, Patrick.
I mean, us Americans, we're just rude. So we say whatever we want to say. Duh. Ignorant American. Sorry. Go ahead. Call the great Taj Mahal. What is his real name?
I'm going with Nakamura. I don't see why he should lose two pay-per-views in a row to gender. I understand gender's got the India tour, but look, has him having the championship this long not made him already a star? I think he can go back to his motherland with no belt and still be the star that he could be with the belt. The belt, in the end of the day, served its purpose. As long as he continues to get booked strong, which I believe he will, because the fact that they have this tour happening, you know, they're going to keep him strong. And we also have this match at Starrcade where we could see the belt going back to gender. So many things could happen between now and then. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but something will. And right now, I'm just going with Nakamura winning the championship.
You make a good point that gender would still be the biggest star there. I mean, in India, being that he's held the belt for so long, and they can still have, you know, one or two matches on this India tour of rematches between he and Nakamura, you know? So they can hype of him trying to regain the belt, you know, as far as publicity and stuff goes for him. I think if they continue to have Nakamura lose too many times, I think he's going to lose credibility in the eyes of the fans, a lot of whom are still trying to get behind him, you know? I think he's had a difficult time connecting with some of the fans. They don't get his whole thing, his whole King of Strong Style, the whole kind of cool, weird kind of gimmick. I don't think everybody's gotten that yet. So I think they need to put the belt on him and give him a good string of wins in order to establish him as a big player before too many people just kind of get confused and stop paying attention to whatever he's doing.
Absolutely. And we will see what happens. It's happening this Sunday, 8 p.m. But that's not all that's happening this Sunday. Also here in the Metro Atlanta area in Norcross, Georgia, on August the 8th, at 5 p.m., we are going to get MLA Worldwide's MLA 13, Bad Intentions. You guys going to be ringside calling the action on commentary. Can't wait to hear that as well. But here are the matches with a 5 o'clock bell time. Kiera Hogan versus Priscilla Kelly versus Camilla King.
It's going to be good. We haven't seen them in a trios match like that yet, but it should be really good.
These three ladies are both stars, and their stars are going to go even further. So to watch this, which could potentially be a feud of like the year between these three women at its inception, I'm looking forward to.
Then we get two returning luchadors to MLA. Septimo Dragon versus Eros.
I'm not as familiar with either of these guys, but I'm definitely excited to see them live. You know, what little bit I've seen is definitely made me want to see more.
I've taken a look. I've done my homework here and kind of watched. And these two guys are exciting. They're whenever you get some luchadors together and let them go, you never know quite what to expect. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they bring back to this promotion, where they want to come in and make a good showing and to pick up a win and to kind of get some momentum behind them and go. So this is another one that, you know, I'm not sure who's going to pick up the win, whoever wants it more, but I'm looking forward to seeing the tricks they pull out of the bag to excite this crowd here in Atlanta.
Then we're going to get a treat as Jeff Cobb makes his MLA debut against Anthony Henry and Joey Lynch in what's going to be a show-stealing three-way match.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to get Cobb at the Global Wars tournament, but an injury forced him out. So excited we'll finally get to see him. And yeah, in this three-way, this is easily be the show-stealing match in a show that realistically any match could steal the show. But this one definitely can't.
They don't call him Mr. Athletic for nothing. And I think it's going to be a surprise to people who are not familiar with him. And Anthony Henry as well is, of course, a standout here in the Southeast. Joey Lynch is just phenomenal. You already said it. This potentially could steal the entire show. So this is going to be one of those matches that I think everybody's going to have eyes on, and their mouths are going to be on the floor by the end of the match from just watching the awesomeness that ensues from these three guys.
Then we continue on with the Global Championship match as AR Fox defends his title against Ray Horace.
Well, I mean, Ray Horace ended up earning this match because of his outstanding performance in the Global Wars tournament, coming up as the runner-up, unfortunately for him. But he was awarded this match by promoter Ricardo Ordaz Jr. because he did so well. So this won't be the first time that we've seen AR Fox versus Ray Horace, and I hope it's not the last. They have some really good matches, really good chemistry together.
Every match is different between these two. They're quick, they're fast paced, they're athletic as hell. If you blink, you will miss something. AR Fox has had this title, and a lot of people feel that he maybe did not deserve this title, but he's been defending it, and now this could be where he loses it. If, you know, one mistake is all it takes for him to go down, and Ray Horace could just possibly be the person to beat AR Fox to pick up this win and to gain that title off of Fox.
In a grudge match in tag team action, Vadi Morales and Alex Cruz will be facing Poder Nocturno and Serpentico.
If the wars we've seen between Vadi Morales and Poder Nocturno are any indication of how this tag match will turn out, it's gonna be nasty. It's gonna be violent. You know, you add in young and hungry competitors like Alex Cruz, a devious mind like Serpentico. I mean, as far as I understand, it's under traditional tag team rules, but I don't know if it will stay under traditional tag team rules given as much animosity between these guys.
No pun intended. There is a lot of bad blood, and this is the match that could spill a ton of that bad blood all over the ring in Atlanta, Georgia on Sunday. Vadi Morales is he's a hot spit fire, and he really, truly believes in himself and his skills and his abilities, and I fear for anybody who gets in the way of that Sunday. This match, tag team or not, it's going to be ugly in a good sort of way. And I can't wait to see just how much bad blood comes out between these four gentlemen.
And in your main event of the evening, MLA champion Mecha Wolf defends the title versus two of the biggest stars in Lucha Libre, in Rush and Carístico, making their MLA debut.
I'm a really big fan of the Mech Wolf. He's just so good at what he does. I've, you know, seen him in MLA. I've seen him. I saw him at Fest take on Martin Stone in a fantastic match. The Mecha Wolf is just so good, and he's definitely good at riling up the crowd there at MLA, of getting under their skin. So getting to see him in the main event is a good time anyways. But you add in Rush and Carístico, getting to see them stateside, getting to see them fight against each other, and you throw in the Mecha Wolf, it's going to be something special. It's going to be something crazy.
There's going to be indeed a fourth man, so to speak, in this match, and that's going to be the crowd. This is a champion who, quite frankly, will disrespect the hell out of the crowd here in Atlanta, and I think he feeds on that. I don't know if this is going to be enough for him to continue to hold this title. He's got the, like you said, the two viable competitors in Rush and Carístico, who are, you know, just the highest luchadors from around the world. Their skill is just known to all. Mr. 450, the Mecha Wolf, I'm sorry, he's in trouble, and he could, quite frankly, the Wolf could get his head cut off come Sunday.
So that is MLA 13, Bad Intentions. It's going to be a great show. Can't wait. 5 p.m. bell time. But now I want to take us to a conversation that we had with MLA star Vadi Morales about this upcoming show and a few other topics. So here is our conversation with Vadi Morales. And now I'd like to welcome MLA Worldwide superstar and a crazy man, Vadi Morales. Welcome to the show, Vadi.
Thank you, guys. First of all, okay. Oh. I'm sorry because my English is not good English, but I'm very excited because it's my first podcast in English. So thank you, guys.
All right.
You can ask Danny and Tamika. I don't know how to speak English either.
His English isn't good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying, guys. I promise.
So here we are, 50 minutes later. We've been trying to get this audio connected via audio for the past 15 minutes. And, you know, we got through some technical difficulties, and 3 to 4 takes later, here we are. But Vadi, I want to talk to you, first of all, about your current run in MLA. Of course, we're heading to a big tag team match for you against some big enemies. But man, you've had some crazy, wild battles with MLA Worldwide lately. Very violent. You're not afraid to get bloody. Why do you like to wrestle that type of style?
Patrick, I'm a complete wrestler, okay? I can fighting with you in Mexican style, in wrestling, in hardcore match, in steel cage match, bull terrier match, any style, okay? It's different for the people, not for me, because the people in MLA all time watch me in a bloody style, in a hardcore style, but I don't know what happened. I don't know what will happen and MLA and on my next match.
So basically it's something that the people enjoy to watch. So you're basically giving the people what they want.
Yeah. But the people watch me in MLA in a hardcore matches, but it's necessary to the next event. Maybe a shirt, maybe a like to, because the people want, man. You know, if the people want a bloody match, I'd be there, man. So I'm sorry for Serpentico and for Alex Cruz. I don't care, man. I hate Poder Nocturno. You know? We have in the past three matches, three very hard matches, man. So the people need to see the same thing. And I don't care. You know.
Now this match is just a regular tag match, right? It's not a hardcore rules match. Just regular tag team match, right?
I don't know.
Will you be able to wrestle Poder Nocturno in a regular match?
Yeah, man. I can.
You're not gonna go crazy and try to stab him or hit a light tube or something. You're not gonna do that. You qualify, you know. Alex Cruz would be really mad at you if you lost the match because you couldn't control your temper.
Yeah, but the thing is, man,
you got too mad.
I put the rules. I don't care if it's a regular match. I don't care, man, because I'm Barry Morales and I put the rules because MLA is my house, you know? I don't care if the referee finishes the match with a disqualification. I don't care. The people come to see to Barry Morales because the people knows what is the style of Barry Morales.
The people do know the style of Barry Morales. You're right. Yeah. You make the rules. MLA is your house. You've had some of, for my memory, the best matches out there because you do what you want to do. You really go out there and you give everything. These matches have been bloody. You looked a mess. What, after one of your matches, can you tell us what was the worst injury that you had that you went, oh, gosh, look at that. Even surprised you.
I don't understand.
Okay. No worries. After one of your matches, you're hurt. You're really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
What was your worst
injury?
What was your worst injury that you were like, ah?
No. No. Okay. First of all, I have over of maybe 6 years fighting in a hardcore style. So it's not new for me, okay? It's only, okay. Well, it's tough.
The pain is nothing. You're okay with the pain.
Girls like the pain.
Girls like the scars. Girls like scars. It makes you look tough.
Only when shower and go to sleep.
Just wash off the blood and sleep. That's it.
Yeah.
No stitches. No stitches. Like, have you had stitches or broken bones? Nothing?
No, nothing. Nothing. Okay. In 7 years, nothing. Nothing. Mm-mm. Only one bane was broke the last show on my hand. On my hand, look right there.
Oh, he's got it's a scar. So it was a vein?
Yeah, scar. Yeah, in my vein. Yeah, this hurts for
deep.
For maybe 1 month.
Oh, okay.
But I'm good and I'm ready for the next.
So Vari, for everyone listening, just showed us the back of his hand where he cut a vein. From the last match that he had against Poder Nocturno in a cage match. Now, you talked about MLA being your home. Of course, we all, have been a part of MLA, you know, with commentary. What makes MLA and an MLA show special in your opinion, Roddy?
In my opinion, maybe... first of all, the place, you know, the space, the discotheque space, man, it's a great place for wrestling, to be honest. I know the price of the rent of the places, man, it's very high, you know? So, MLA booking biggest stars, you know? Biggest stars from AAA, from CMML, indie wrestlers from Mexico and from United States, you know? MLA have the two kind of fans. The Hispanic fans and the American fans, you know? And when the people are in an MLA show, the people forget color, forget nationality, and only enjoy the show, the first match to the last match. And you go to the indie show, man, it's one school, one little likes, and when you go to the concert, you watch all, you know, you watch the lights, the sound, not only watch the band or the maybe if you go to see Lady Gaga, you go to see a show, not only Lady Gaga, you know, that happens in MLA. You pay for a show, not only pay for matches, you know?
So with that, now, of course, you have been battling Poder Nocturno for the honor of MLA. After this, what is next for Vadi Morales? Are you going to be able to look forward to the future and maybe go after one of the two championships MLA has?
So, man... I don't know. I don't live in the future, and I don't live in the past. So I'm ready for the next thing what happened.
So you're not looking past the tag match. First the tag match, and then whatever happens.
Yeah. I'm ready for all, man. I'm ready for all. Sometimes the people can't understand. So I started wrestling at 16 years. Now I have 24 years, you know? So in my past, I live a lot of experience. A lot of matches. I repeat that I'm a complete wrestler. I'm one wrestler can fight in a regular match, in a hardcore match, in a tag team match, in MMA. So I can fight in any style, and for this reason, I only ever am ready for the next challenger. So if you asking me about my future, I don't know, man. I don't know. So I only know I kicked the ass of Poder Nocturno again. And Serpentico, man, I'm sorry, Serpentico. I don't know. I can promise you guys in MLA 13, The Bloody is back.
We're definitely going to be looking forward to that. Now, MLA 13 happening this Sunday, 5 p.m. bell time at Espacio Discotheque, Norcross, Georgia. Tickets available, MuchaLuchaTL.com. Now, I do want to ask you about another little thing here. With MLA, you guys went on tour to the Carolinas a few months ago, and you got to wrestle legendary Octagoncito. Now, he didn't like the result of the match. You won. And since then, Octagoncito has gone on social media to accuse Ricardo Ordaz Jr. of colluding with the referee to help you in your favor. So, clear the air here. Your thoughts here on the claims Octagoncito has, you know, of this, you know, big plot against him.
Octagoncito is a old rival, but in South Carolina, I win the match, man. I accept. I kick the low part. Okay. Of Octagoncito, and obviously I wins. Ricardo are in backstage, but man, Octagoncito is a crazy little man who can't accept he is old, you know. So man, I'm young. And are more strong, and are I am better wrestler, and he can't accept that. That's it, man. She wants a revenge, man. But in MLA, I don't know. Maybe in another place, man. But MLA is for the biggest stars, you know, bigger stars like me. And like the other guys. So maybe I'm a local wrestler, man. But MLA helped me to become in a great wrestler right there.
So you won't give him the rematch in MLA, but possibly elsewhere if the opportunity comes up, you may face him again. And maybe I may be misquoting you here, but you'll give him another beating.
I only accept the rematch if the rematch are in hardcore match. But Octagoncito don't like the hardcore match, or maybe he fear me. I'm not sure. But it's not the same thing, man. One match. One regular match is totally different. One match in MLA in a hardcore rules and against me.
So that'll definitely be something to see. I don't know if Octagoncito has the testicular fortitude to accept that type of match, especially. After, you know, if he has seen what you have done in hardcore matches, I think that maybe Octagoncito would come up short on that one.
Yeah, man, I told you, I put the rules. When Octagoncito fights with me, man, I can kick any part of his little body, man, because I put the rules. If I kick his head, if I kick his balls, it's because I want to kick his balls, and I do it because it's my ring.
And hey, that's fair. You know, you won the first time, and if he wants a rematch, then, you know, you have all the advantage and he has to do it your way, that definitely would be interesting to see if Octagoncito even tries to do anything like that. In the meantime, he is all talk on social media.
man, on social media. Come on, man. Come on, one man. It's like a kid, man, you know. In Mexico, if I have problems with you, man, I'm looking for you, for kick you, for punch your face, man. I don't post enough in social media, man. So it's an old man with problems in his head. And if he wants a rematch, you know, these are the rules, okay? Hardcore match, because he can't cry when I kick his balls.
That's true, and you know what? If he wants to step up the challenge, you know, if he thinks he's a big enough man to face you in a hardcore match, that will be interesting to see, and that's something that if it does happen, I may have to try to do everything I can to go wherever it is to see it. But Vary, we're really excited to have you here now. I do have a question. You say you started wrestling when you were 16 years old. Where did you start? Who trained you?
In Juarez, Mexico. I was born in Juarez, Mexico, in the border with El Paso, Texas. So I started training at 14 years, very young. My MMA debut are at 15 years, professional MMA debut. So my dad, he's a kickboxing teacher, kickboxing instructor, and I don't know and so, but I love more the wrestling, so I was starting the wrestling at 16 years, and I was start training in a little we call arena, in one little arena Club Deportivo Unidos, with and my wrestling coach are Peluchin, one local wrestler, and one star of Mexico, Takeda.
Do you feel like you've reached your prime yet?
Man, I need more, man, because the wrestling is one lifestyle, you know. It's not a hobby. It's I elegy the wrestling for my lifestyle. So man, I can do more, but the last year and this year, I completely focus on my personal life. But I hope the next year are a good year for me in wrestling. Another thing, I need a going out of MLA to fighting with another wrestlers in Georgia, you know? I want more rivalities because I know I can. Another promoters. But one thing, man. So I need money too, you know?
Gotta get paid. Yeah, you have
to
have the money.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You mentioned wanting to do fight other guys in Georgia. Is there anybody outside of MLA that you've seen that you said, hey, I want to beat that guy up. It will be fun.
Okay. Cor Stallion.
Oh.
Cor Stallion. Jimmy Ray.
Okay.
And Cor Stallion, Jimmy Rave, and I don't know.
Anybody who wants to get beat up?
Yeah. Anybody. I'm ready. In any style. So I want one hardcore match. But now in MLA.
Outside of MLA.
Outside of MLA. Because the I want to conquer Georgia, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Not only MLA. MLA for me, and to be honest, is the most great promoter right now in Georgia. So... But I'm a wrestler. I want another challenge, another rivals. But the thing is, I need money too. You know, I can go to five. Yeah. But yeah, Cor Stallion, Jimmy Ray, because are the people. Are the wrestler who the people respect, you know? So I want respect too.
Now you have been wrestling in Georgia Premier Wrestling, some. So you are getting outside of MLA. You fought Ricky Reyes in Georgia Premier. You fought Matt Cross.
Yeah.
In Georgia Premier. So you fight MLA. To some in Georgia Premier, I think that's good. More people see you in Georgia Premier and say, hey, he can wrestle outside of MLA. I think that's good. You're doing, you know, we saw you wrestle last year in Georgia Premier. So I think that's a good start. You go there and different people see you, different fans than go to the MLA shows. And I think sometimes the fans see you and the fans tell the promoters, hey, bring in this guy. So I think if the fans, the more fans see you, I think the more fans like you. And they talk to promoters and say, hey, bring in Vare Morales. We like him. So I think are a lot of guys in Georgia who you could have really good matches with. And I would like to see.
Yeah. Thank you. And more important, I want titles outside MLA. Because I'm a wrestler. I'm the kind of wrestler who wants respect, who wants titles, because I know I am a special wrestler. For one reason, I'm small, but another wrestlers don't have my fury and don't have my talent. Thanks to God for my talent, but to be honest, so I want to be the king in Georgia. I want Georgia for my house. And the other states already, you know. But I hope all this for the next year.
Well, I definitely think that that's going to happen sooner than later. You're definitely, you're very, you know, you're a very talented wrestler, great out there. You do just about anything. You're a crazy man, in my opinion. People love you, and you're still very young. So, like you said, you haven't gotten to the height of your career yet. You have a lot more to do and to learn. So, we definitely look forward to watching you this Sunday. Again, everybody, this Sunday, 5 p.m., MLA 13, Bad Intentions. Vadi Morales has a lot of bad intentions for Poder Nocturno.
I'm full, man. I'm full. My head is full. My heart is full of very bad intentions.
So everybody needs to go check out the show if you're in the Atlanta area, in Georgia, in the Southeast. It's an afternoon show, you know, a good drive to come watch the show and then go home happy. It's going to be headlined as well by Carístico, Rouge, and Mecha Wolf, the MLA champion. A great card, so we can't wait to be there. Of course, Danny and Tamika will be the commentary team ringside. Vari in the special tag match with Alex Cruz against Poder Nocturno and Serpentico. Everybody go out to Twitter, follow Vari at Vari Morales. Give him a follow. Thanks, Vari, for joining the show today, and we wish you lots of luck on Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Maybe the next year, I cut the head of Mecha Wolf. See you there in MLA the next Sunday.
Once again, we want to thank Vari Morales for joining us on the show. Can't wait to see him and all of the MLA stars this Sunday at 5 p.m. at Spacio Discotheque in Norcross, Georgia for Mucha Lucha Atlantis. MLA 13, Bad Intentions. And of course, as I said before, Wrestling's Cutest Commentary Team will be calling the action ringside. And if you want to get this great commentary team on your show, contact Danny or Tamika on Twitter. They're on Twitter at Danny F. in Danger and at Mika Villas. Send them a tweet, send them a DM. And reach out to them. You can also find Danny Danger and Mika Villas on the Facebook if you want to send them a private message that way. You can also follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Follow me on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Subscribe, give us a great review. We'd love to hear all the positive feedback. Give us those 5 stars. We'll definitely appreciate all the support. So that is the show for today. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.